Welcome back, dear friends, to my home studio here in my greenhouse. This was not where I had hoped that we would be for this Sunday. Last week, we were blessed, about a third of the congregation, to get together at the church building and to worship together in person. That was permitted by the state and the county as far as we knew. And then further clarification on our modified phase one status came out a couple of days later and said, no, churches need to wait a bit longer before we're able to meet indoors. My friends, we need to keep our county, our city, our state, our nation in prayer that the virus spread may be reduced. Other countries have done a great job of getting it under control. We need to pray that ours would as well, and then of course do what we're able to do for our part in that process. Today I am wearing a shirt that I haven't worn in years. I dug through my closet and I found it just for this lesson. This is my old college social club jersey. Used to wear this every Thursday. That was jersey day for my social club. We didn't have fraternities and sororities at Harding University, and so we had social clubs instead, and I was a part of, you can see it here on my jersey if you're watching the video, Theta Tau Delta. You might be able to see the delta there. That was my social club. We were all about playing sports and not much else, and that worked really well for me. It was a nice diversion from daily studies. So there was a day, my junior or senior year of college. It was a Thursday. I know that because I was wearing this jersey that day, this very one. I was in the university cafeteria, sitting at a table with some friends. At the table in front of us was a group of football players, and at the table behind us was another group of football players. And the football players, they had a tendency to be a little mischievous sometimes, a little rowdy sometimes. We didn't think anything of it. We sat down, we were eating our meal, and all of a sudden food began to fly from the table behind us to the table in front of us, from the table in front of us to the table behind us. It flew over our table, and my friends all around me did the smart thing. They ducked underneath our table. They hid as the food flew. I looked at the food flying. I was junior or senior, and I thought, you know what? This is childish. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not getting under the table. And so I stayed where I was. I tried to continue to eat my dinner, and all of a sudden, you guessed it, didn't you? Bam, right in the side of the face, a whole bunch of mashed potatoes. They got in my on my face, on my head, on my jersey. They got down inside my ear. I mean, whoever threw these, I don't think he was aiming at me, but it was a perfect shot right in the ear. Got down deep enough inside my ear, I couldn't get it out. I tried to clean myself. I couldn't get the potatoes out of my ear. I had to go take a shower afterward just to get the potatoes out of my ear. Well, I immediately, of course, ducked under the table with my friends, but it was too late. Some warnings in life are heeded, and others go unheeded. For me, the food flying was a warning, and it went unheeded a bit too long. Bill Gates in 2015 gave a TED Talk that is now famous, but I don't know if it was before this year. He said in that TED Talk that of all the things that could kill 10 million or more people on the earth in a short time, the most likely was an epidemic. He argued that we weren't ready for it if it came, but that we could be if we took the danger seriously now, speaking back in 2015. Well, I suspect, looking back on it, that some people did take that warning from him and from others seriously, and that others probably did not take it seriously enough. And many, like myself, just never even knew that that talk was given, never knew that this was a particular danger. I knew there'd been plagues and such in the past, but hadn't really thought about it for our time. God has warned us that judgment is coming. Will we take his warning seriously. We're continuing today with lessons from Hebrews chapter 11, which gives a list and descriptions of heroes of faith from the most ancient times. Abel, Enoch, today we're looking at Noah, the next in the writer's list. So let's begin in Genesis 6, verse 9, with the story of Noah, and then we'll get to that passage in Hebrews in just a few minutes. Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. The Lord then said to Noah, Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Chapter 6, verse 9 says that Noah was a righteous man, a blameless man in his time. And it says that he walked faithfully with God. He's the second person in Scripture about whom Scripture says he walked with God. The first was Enoch, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So God revealed to Noah, this righteous man, what God was going to do. Verse 13, God warns him that judgment is coming upon the people of the earth. God is going to destroy them. And then in verse 17, God reveals the means by which he will bring about this destruction. It will be a great flood. And Noah is instructed by God on what he must do to save himself and his family and the animals. How does Noah respond to God's warning? Chapter 6, verse 22 says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And again, chapter 7, verse 5 says, And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah responded to God's warning by obeying his commands. Scripture says it twice. Why did Noah obey the Lord? Well, because he believed the Lord's warnings. He took them seriously. Unlike me, that day I was wearing this jersey in the school cafeteria and ignored the warnings of the food flying back and forth around me, just thinking I could ignore it and escape unscathed. Well, no one can predict when potatoes might fly or when a pandemic might occur. But the warnings of God are trustworthy. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And when the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights and the floodwaters rose, Noah and his family and the animals in the ark with them were saved. Hebrews chapter 11, having brought to our minds already the faith of Abel, who gave God his best, and of Enoch, who walked with God and God took him away, now reminds us of the faith of Noah. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah models obedience to God that comes from faith. Sometimes we obey God because we take his warnings seriously, as Noah did here. Sometimes we obey God because we believe his promises. That's what Abraham did. We'll talk about Abraham next week. The positive motivation of promises and the negative motivation of warnings are both important. Both are helpful to us. We need to pay attention to both. Noah was warned about things not yet seen, the writer of Hebrews says. And he took those warnings seriously. Hebrews 11 verse 1 that we looked at a few weeks ago says, faith is assurance about what we do not see. Well, Noah had never seen a flood like the one that God said was going to come. But he believed God's warning because it came from God. God spoke that warning, and the person of faith takes everything God says seriously. If I say, you know, that there's going to be a huge spike in COVID-19 cases in Yakima County, unless we change our behavior, it's okay for you to respond with a polite chuckle. I am not a health expert. I have not studied such things. I probably don't know more about it than you do. If Bill Gates, having done his research carefully, warns that a pandemic is a major threat to many lives, he might be worth listening to. If a highly respected epidemiologist says that we need to take this virus seriously, we should probably listen. If God says judgment is coming on the earth, we should take that as an absolute truth, knowing by faith that what we cannot yet see is coming if God says it's coming. Noah listened to God. He took God's warning seriously, and by faith he obeyed God's instructions to build the ark, and to build it in a certain way. God gave him fairly detailed instructions. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. That's about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. A cubit is about 18 inches or so. It's about a foot and a half. This turns out to be a 6-to-1 length to width ratio. And today, that ratio is commonly used for cargo ships. The Ark was definitely a cargo ship. A 6-to-1 ratio is within the standard range of ratios for cargo ships today. By God's instructions, by following those instructions, Noah built a vessel that could stay afloat on the high seas with ample room inside for all of its precious cargo. Noah's faith, demonstrated in obedience, saved his family. Noah's faith, demonstrated in obedience, the writer of Hebrews says, condemned the world. when that cafeteria food fight started, my friends all ducked under the table and escaped potato-free. I, on the other hand, did not. Their response to the warning given in the flying food proved my action, my response, to be the wrong response. Their response condemned mine. In Noah's situation, the many who defied the Lord died, but the one family that listened to his warning and obeyed survived. Noah's faithful obedience to God condemned the world, proved them to be in the wrong. Noah's faith demonstrated in obedience made Noah, the writer says, an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Faith produces righteousness, right behavior, right character, and Noah's faith produced right behavior that preserved the human race. Then in verse 18, as Noah responds to God in faith, back to Genesis 6, verse 18, God establishes a covenant with him, a covenant to save him and his family through the ark. This is the first time that the word covenant appears in the Bible. It's here as God offers this covenant to Noah to save his family in the ark as Noah walks with him in obedience. As we put our faith in the Lord and show our faith by our obedience, God invites us also into a covenant with him, the covenant that he offers us through Jesus, so that we too can be saved from the judgment that God has foretold is coming on the world. Will we listen to God's warnings and receive the covenant he offers us as we respond in faith? In Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, Jesus is speaking, and he warns that when he comes again, it will be like what happened in the days of Noah. God's judgment will come suddenly on all people, and people will have no idea that it's coming. They'll be caught completely by surprise. They will not be ready, just like when the flood came and took the people of Noah's time away. But Noah, looking to God, received God's warning of the judgment that was coming, heeded it, and in faith obeyed God, and it saved his family and saved the human race. Today we know from past experience and by faith that God's word is always true. We see that in the story of Noah and so many other stories in Scripture. And we know that Jesus, just as Jesus died for our forgiveness and rose from the dead to conquer death forever, so he is also coming again to judge all people, living and dead, to punish those who reject the Creator's authority in their lives, and to give eternal life to those who seek God. We're like Noah, then. We have advance warning of the judgment that is coming. How can we be like Noah in the way we respond to this warning? Let us have the faith of Noah, my friends, to listen to God's warning and to obey his commands, and so, through faith, to be saved from God's judgment. Today, we can't see that God's judgment is coming. It hasn't come yet. We can't see it yet. Today, we can't see Jesus return. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark. Will we have the faith to listen to God's warnings about what we cannot yet see? Those who by faith obey God's commands will be saved from God's judgment when it comes. It is not God's will that anyone would perish, and that's why God has warned us about this, to rescue us if we will respond in faith. And in the meantime, we have many warnings from God for our lives today, every day. Warnings to stay away from every sort of sin, gossip and greed and showing favoritism and lying and adultery and every sort of sin. Because God has warned us that sin always brings harm to our lives if we do it. And so he warns us to stay away from it because he loves us and wants us to have good and rich, wholesome lives. Will we listen to God's warnings and obey his commands? If we do, we will be blessed. If we don't, then, like me that day in the university cafeteria, we may suddenly find ourselves wishing that we had, but it will be too late. This jersey that I'm wearing today reminds me of that day and reminds me to take warnings seriously. Most of all, the warnings of God. Noah is a hero of faith for us, a model for us to follow as we seek to walk with God as he did. Noah's story reminds us to listen to God's warnings, to heed them, and in faith to obey God's commands. This will bless our lives today. It will save our lives when Jesus comes, and it will help us to grow in righteousness. In the meantime, Noah is a witness for us to the trustworthiness of God and to God's kindness for those who will listen to his warnings and to the benefits of faith. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, coming right at the end of a long list of heroes of faith in chapter 11, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." My friends, remember the many witnesses who have gone before us, people of great faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and so many others. Most of all, remember Jesus, who perfected faith when he endured the cross in order to bring us to God. By his death, he took our judgment on himself and paid for our sins with his body and his blood, if we follow him. By his teachings, he warned us about the judgment to come and taught us how to escape it. He did this because he loves us. Remember Noah and remember Jesus. Listen to the warnings of God and press on in faith until our Lord Jesus comes again and we get to share in his reward. May God bless you today. Let's close this lesson with prayer. Our dear God, thank you for the example of Noah and his faith. Help us, like Noah, to hear your warnings, to take them seriously, and then to respond in faith, knowing that what we cannot yet see will come because you have told us that it will come. And help us, Lord, to obey your commands, that when judgment comes, we may be found worthy of salvation, worthy to share in eternal life, not worthy because of anything we have done, but worthy because Jesus paid for our sins with his own body and blood. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for loving us and giving us warnings about the judgment to come, that we may have the opportunity to escape it. Bless us. Bless our faith, Lord, even while we're apart. Help us to grow stronger and stronger in faith every day. Bless your church, Lord, and watch over each one of us. Bring us back together again soon. In Jesus' name, amen. God be with you this week.